Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can gather in the house of the Lord on this morning and offer to him our praise and thanksgiving for all the things that God has done. As I was flitting around the sanctuary here before worship, as of course ministers are wont to do, I said, oh, I better go down and get ready because I'll show up undressed if I don't. And I'm looking at myself in the monitor, noticing I forgot my stole again this morning. So I need to make an apology to the guys at the back, because when I'm this white, it really makes their job harder to get a good picture. So my apologies, guys. I simply didn't see that on my stole hanging on the back of the door as I left this morning. A couple of brief announcements as we gather in worship. A welcome to all who are joining us online. It is good to welcome those from further afield and those who are shut in from our own congregation as we gather in worship each week. And for anyone who is here visiting with us this morning, we're pleased to welcome you. A special welcome this morning to Brian Hubelit, who you can't see, but he is here, and you've heard him this morning. Brian is filling in for Minna while she's away on a couple of weeks of well-deserved rest, so we're very pleased to have Brian playing the organ, both for us this morning as well as next week as well. A quick reminder from the slides. If you know of anyone who is in the hospital, if you could let us know here at the church, that would be really, really helpful. The reality is at this point that the hospital still isn't encouraging folks to get in, and there's not a really good system for them in place to let us clergy know when we go in who is there. So we do rely on the members of our own congregations to kind of make sure we know who's in hospital. And we are collecting school supplies for Baldwin House as we start to move toward the fall and the beginning of a new school year. And as we do so, we acknowledge that there are those in our community who are seeking shelter and who aren't at home, and for whom getting school stuff together is a little bit more of a challenge. So we're looking for backpacks and lunch boxes, or lunch bags, stationery items, little math kits, colored pencils, all of those things that make up a child's backpack as they're getting ready for school. If you would like to pick those up, that would be great. If you could bring them next week, because we really do want to try to have those items in place and at Baldwin House before the beginning of the school year. So we'd gratefully appreciate your assistance in that regard. And finally, and this is not posted anywhere yet, but probably will be later today, the sympathies of the congregation are extended to the family of Frank Wilson. Frank passed away on Friday, I believe. A funeral visitation will be at the John Sullivan Funeral Home on Wednesday evening from 7 to 9, and then on Thursday morning from 9 o'clock until the time of the funeral service at 11. So the funeral service will be at 11 this coming Thursday morning, yes. As we come into God's presence this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that we walk in the light of our Lord and that in him there is no darkness. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord, and we will say together the call to worship as it appears before you on the screen. Who is this God whom we have come to worship? The creator of birds and trees, wind and sea. God is the creator of all things, seen and unseen. Then let us worship that the God of creation, the God of all things, great and small. We come this morning in prayer, and we pray together this prayer for creation, which comes to us from the nation of Samoa. Let us pray. Almighty God, Your word of creation causes the water to be filled with many kinds of living beings, and the air to be filled with birds. We rejoice in the richness of your creation, and we pray for your wisdom for all who live on this earth, that we may wisely manage and not destroy what you have made for us and for our descendants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning's opening hymn will appear before you on the screen. All creatures of our God and King, let us sing the hymn as it appears before us.
And King, listen.
Please be seated. When we see God's beautiful holiness, we recognize our own lack of holiness. God is light and truth, yet we live among shadows and lies. People of God, let us acknowledge who and whose we are. Let us ask our powerful God to illumine us with grace and truth in Jesus Christ as we pray together the prayer of confession. This morning's prayer is a responsive prayer and will appear before you on the screen. God of all creation, on the first day you made day and night. Forgive us for taking for granted the dependable patterns of your world. Open our eyes to see the beauty of the cosmos you created as our home. On the second day, you made the sky. Forgive us for polluting the air. Help us see how best to restore and renew your creation. On the third day, you made the sea and the plants. Forgive us for spoiling the seas. Give us resolve to change our hurtful habits. On the fourth day, you made the sun and the moon. Forgive us for failing to pause in praise of their splendor. Open our lips so that we may sing your praise. On the fifth day, you made swarms of living creatures. Forgive us for seeing their value only in terms of serving our interests. Give us new opportunities to delight in their beauty and diversity. On the sixth day, you made humankind in your image. Forgive us for denying dignity to all your people. Work through us until all know their worth as your creatures. On the seventh day, you rested. Forgive us for failing to take joy in our rest. Help us enter your rhythm of rest even in this day of worship. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, firstborn of all creation. Amen. Friends, God the Creator brings you new life, forgives and redeems you. Take hold of this forgiveness and live your life in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to pause just for a moment and ask you one question. What's your favorite season of the year? For each of us, it's different, right? Some like spring, because we get to see the earth reborn, don't we? We get to see the greening of the earth and new flowers come up. I was reading a post from a friend on social media who'd moved into a new home, and they made the comment that they were really looking forward to the spring evolving this year as they got to see new things that would pop up in their garden as kind of the earth renewed itself. For others, it's summer. Some people really like warm weather. Not Karen. Some people really like warm weather, but Fleur likes warm weather and the sun and all of the life that happens in the summertime. Others like the fall colors. I think a lot of people think fall is maybe their favorite time of year. The harvest that comes in. We celebrate the goodness of the earth in the fall. And some like, believe it or not, winter. When the hoarfrost is on the trees, or those sunny days when the sun hits new snow and it glistens and glints, winter can be a beautiful time of year as well, even though it's not green and things are more dormant. So each of us has our favorite, and that's fine. You can each have your own favorite because there is such a diversity, and we celebrate always the diversity of creation. So think about your favorites and the things that you cherish the most in creation this morning and for the next several weeks, because over the next several weeks, we're going to be considering the goodness of creation and what we have done to the planet Earth. So that's our little teaser for this morning and something to get you thinking towards the message. Let's pause for a moment in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for giving us the Bible. We thank you that through reading it, we can learn more about you and learn to love you more. Send your Spirit to help us understand your word and help us to grow. For Jesus' sake, we pray these things. Amen.
Morning. First reading is from the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 2, verses 10 to 17. A river flows out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divides and becomes four branches. The name of the first is Pison. It is the one that flows around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Delium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Giphon. It is the one that flows around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You feel freely eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it, you shall die." Second reading will be a response of Psalm 24, which will be on the screens. "The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it.
For he has founded it on the sea and established it on the rivers.
Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place?
Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false, and do not swear deceitfully.
They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from the God of their salvation.
Such is the company of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in.
Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in.
Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory.
And our third reading is from the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, 5 to 7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Jesus Christ. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Final reading is the New Testament, Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 33. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what will you wear? Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life of span of life? And why do you not worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who seek all of these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. His word to us.
Once more, let us come before God in praise as we sing the hymn, God of the Sparrow, God of the Whale. The words will appear before you on the screen, or you can follow along with this hymn. It is 307 in the Book of Praise. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What a difference 100 kilometers can make. Last Sunday after worship, Colleen and I made a quick trip to Kanata. We drove along the 417 across the top, across Ottawa there, and we noted as we drove along the dark and foreboding clouds that were ahead of us. And as we drove into a most intense rainstorm. We pulled over to wait for the storm to pass because it was impossible to see. And as we waited, water flowed down the streets like rivers, overwhelming the catch basins and filling the parking lots with water. 100 kilometers away, here in Cornwall, you didn't experience any of that. It's been one of those very interesting things, being newly moved to Cornwall, to watch the weather patterns. And to acknowledge how fortunate we are living in Cornwall, that most of the bad weather chooses to miss us. It either goes over the top or it goes beneath us, and we kind of enjoy a more moderate environment. Now, it used to be that storms like the one that we experienced last weekend were really extraordinary events. Maybe one of those storms would hit every 3 or 4 years. But today, it seems, they strike at least once a year, maybe more often. And indeed, if memory serves me correct, for the people who live just west of Ottawa in that region, in Kanata and the Peon and whatnot, they've experienced several intense storms and tornadoes over the past several years. They really have not been as fortunate as we have. Gone are the rainy days of our youth, for those of us who are my age and older. Remember those days when a soft, gentle rain would fall during a summer day all day long. Now it seems we get 2 or 3 inches of rain in less than an hour, and then the storm moves away and the cloud and the sun comes out once more. And with that comes a certain amount of challenge. It's clear that the weather patterns are changing all around us. Despite the denials of certain slivers of the political spectrum, climate change is real. We may not like that news, but not liking it does not make it any less true. And it is worsening at an alarming rate. This summer, the news has been inundated with stories of flooding in the United States, and flooding that isn't happening in the normal places, right? Usually we expect floods to happen along the Gulf Coast of the United States, down in Louisiana and in Texas, where they live so close to the water, or along the eastern seaboard in certain areas that are prone to higher than usual tides. But this year, the floods are happening hundreds of miles inland from the coast, in places like Missouri and Kentucky most recently. Why are these floods happening? They're happening because of these torrential types of rainstorms that fall and dump more water than we can imagine in a very short amount of time. And because drought hardened earth cannot absorb the water fast enough. Just this week, as I was driving down to the church to come to work one morning, I was listening to the BBC World Service on the radio, and there was a story from the Loire Valley in France. The Loire is one of France's largest rivers, and it is It is the place in France, well, it's one of the places in France, where they have vineyards and they grow grapes and there are good agricultural crops, and it's known as the Garden of France, the Loire River Valley. But it was making the news this week because this summer the Loire has run dry. You can walk across this river. There really is a sense all around us that creation is being undone. That the goodness of the earth that we read of in the book of Revelation is slipping away. Anytime we speak of the natural world as people of faith, it only makes sense for us to return once more to the story of creation that we find in the book of Genesis. It is foundational for us as people of faith, as we seek to understand our purpose and our relationship in the world around us, to turn back to that story and to hear once more God's divine plan for creation. And this morning, I don't know if you picked it up, but we read the alternate story of creation from Genesis chapter 2. And as you listen to Kenny, you heard that story and how it tells how God sends the rivers, the great rivers of the world, to give life to the garden. How different that is from what our reality is today. As part of creation, we as humanity, we are told in this story, are given the command to care for the garden, to tend it and to till it, to ensure that the goodness that was so much a part of its creation when God spoke it into being is sustained from that point forward. And that certainly seems to be a more precarious proposition these days, doesn't it? Certainly, it is a challenge to be optimistic. As we listen to predictions made by climate scientists and those who write about these things in newspapers and magazines, the news is not good. As I was preparing for this week, I kind of immersed myself in all of that information, right? I really dug deep, and I was, well, for better or for worse, I was blessed that there was a lot of material either online or in the popular media to feed my curiosity and to kind of give me a sense of where we were, because we haven't really talked about this too much since COVID, and things have changed even in just 2 years. But I have to be honest with you. As I spent this past week reading and listening to all of this material, I have to admit that I vacillated between anger and hopelessness and despair. You see, the news isn't good, and the task before us is great. And so I got to be honest, the first couple of sermons that I was writing in the back of my head as I was reading all this material weren't very happy sermons. And really, they were more like really good policy papers or letters to the editor, and maybe someday they'll make it into that. But you didn't want to hear them being preached from the pulpit. They lacked the one thing. They lacked a little bit of hope. A little bit of faith. And so I'm indebted to a woman by the name of Catherine Hayhoe. Now, if you don't know Catherine Hayhoe, you should. Catherine Hayhoe is a Canadian-born climate scientist. She's an evangelical Christian, and she teaches climate science at Texas Tech University in Lubbock, Texas. I can't think of a harder place in the whole world to try to convince people of climate change than Lubbock, Texas. But that's where she works, and that's what she does, and that's who she is. And you can find her lectures on YouTube, and so I commend her to you. Now, She was instrumental in helping me this week as I sat in my funk of despair, because she reminds us of the reading that we read from 2 Timothy chapter 2. And this is one of those times where I don't like our translation that we have in the Pew Bibles. There are different translations that I like just a little bit better. And man, oh man, I'm just talking one verse, for that last verse of this reading, there's a lot of variation in translation. But that happens sometimes as scholars are parsing the words. So I'm probably going to use her word more than what you heard from Ken, but you can see them from where they were in the Pew Bible. Her encouragement to her audience was simply this, quoting 2 Timothy chapter 1, that God has not created us for a spirit of fear, but that with love and compassion and a sound mind, we are to approach the challenges of this life. Indeed, the whole challenge of climate change requires of us that we think once more and reorient our lives toward God and toward God's goodness given in creation, toward the richness and the bounty that is part of that creation. As I mentioned, that reading that we read speaks of the four great rivers. And imagine if you were hearing that as one of the first people to hear that story being told in the Middle East. We've all seen pictures of the Middle East, right? Sand everywhere. How do they possibly eke out a living in a land that is so barren and so dry? And yet, in this story of creation, the author of the book of Genesis says, God gives rivers that will water the great garden, the sustainer of life. The Pishon and the Euphrates and the Tigris, and I'm forgetting one. You'll have to go look it up, and then you can email it to me later today. But those four great rivers water the earth and sustain life. Those who read those words for the first time surely would have known it, and they would have known the wonderful miracle and gift that was embodied in those words and that those four great rivers. For us as people of faith, we always must return to this one assertion, that God created a world that was good. The question then that rises from that is, what have you done about it? How have you cared for it? This is one of those difficult issues of our age. This may be a life-changing event for us and for generations yet to come. And so it demands of us our very best preaching, and so they're thinking and preaching too. And over the next several weeks, we're going to take a couple of weeks to look at this whole question of the environment and climate change. If you remember way back 3 years ago when I came, this was one of those things that I said I was going to harp on during the time I was here. I said it was important, actually, but harping on it is probably sometimes where you go, especially on those days when I get hopeless and I forget the faith. So we're going to take a few days, a few Sundays, to think about this week. Why is this important? And we keep going back to our book of Genesis. We'll look at what the implications of a changing climate may mean from a biblical perspective. A couple of interesting things that struck me this week, that people, we as Christians, as we read our Old Testament, especially the Old Testament, there are events and things and wording that always causes us trouble, and we go, well, I don't quite understand that. And it's dawned on me this week, maybe the present age in which we live is a prime example that will show to us exactly what that means. So I'm looking forward to a couple of really interesting sermons over the next couple of weeks, if I can keep my wits about me. And then we will come back again to a message of hope on the fourth week. So that's what's going to happen for the next several weeks in our diet of preaching, as we consider where we how we can respond to climate change. But we start today with that wonderful promise that the world is good and that God will provide for us everything that we have had. That was the other gospel text that you heard Ken share with us this morning. Jesus says, consider the lilies of the valley, who neither toil nor weave, and yet look at how wonderful they are. Solomon, in all of his grandeur, has nothing on your flower bed. And if you think that's not true, walk along the pathway here on the way out and just admire those 6-foot-tall yellow coneflowers as you leave the worship this morning. Amazing. Just amazing. The wonder of those flowers that we have this week. Or consider the birds of the air, who don't plow the ground, who don't plant the seed, who don't store it in barns to keep it safe, but who receive it from God as a blessing each day, and who are fed and cared for in all of their lives. And are not we more than the birds of the air, more than the flowers of the earth? And God cares for us. No simpler sentence in all of Scripture is articulated than that. God cares for you. So whenever you read the news and you start feeling that sense of dread welling up within you, remember those words that God cares for us, and God gifts us with the intellect and the ability to solve the problems that we have created, the problems that lie before us. So hold fast to your faith for the next couple of weeks. Listen carefully to the word of God as it comes to us, both as grace and as correction, but always live not remembering that you are not created with a spirit of fear, but with love and compassion. You have been given a keen mind so that we may solve the problems of this world. We will start to play with some of those things in the weeks to come. And I guess the other thing is, watch carefully over the next couple of weeks. As you read the newspaper, look at magazines, and surf online. There really is a great wealth of information coming out on climate science right now. And I encourage you to engage in that information and to think about it and what that might mean for our world and how we can address the problems that lie before us. Knowing always that God does gift us with the wisdom to deal with them. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we think about weather and climate and the blessings of the creation, we are reminded in the psalm that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all those who live in it. In joy and thanksgiving, let us present our tithes and offerings to God. Let us pray. Praise be to you, O Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, most gracious God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name for all that you have done for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. And just before we move on, I don't know if you read the Moment for Mission this morning. But if you didn't take a chance, the Moments for Mission are online at the National Church website. And the one this week celebrated the work of Paris Presbyterian Church and a small micro business, I guess you would call it, that they created called The Raw Carrot. The Raw Carrot is a place that is an opportunity that was developed for people who were struggling with employment, and it was a place where they could come, they could work, they could build it around disability allowances that they might be receiving if they were physically challenged, or it might just be that they were people who needed references so that they could go out and find other jobs. And so Paris Presbyterian, recognizing that need, started the Raw Carrot, which is the use of the church kitchen facilities to make soups that they then sell to fund the ministry. So it's an interesting opportunity and model for ministry, and if you want to know more about it, you can probably even Google Raw Carrot and it might even come up. So just do take a look for more information on that. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. clouds rolling across the sea and land, freedom and space to explore, the soothing pattern and rhythm of our days and seasons grounds us in the eternal. Tranquility in early morning rising, delight in green surroundings, joyous laughter of children, all remind us of the wonders of our lives. We give you thanks, most gracious God, for the gifts we witness around us, in green spaces, in music and creativity. Support, validate, and love and companionship our church communities and the wisdom in our shared heritage and the wonderful example of Jesus Christ. We bring before you all those in positions of power, that leaders might be guided by wisdom and integrity, all cooperating in proper care and concern for the world's resources, remembering those dedicating their lives to the care of others and all who call out in agony against the oppression of nature, where difference threatens stability. We pray for understanding and compassion, for peace in our world, for recovery of the earth and her resources, that communities might thrive, broken land recover, and individuals flourish. We pray for grace and compassion to understand the needs of our neighbors, those who live with anxiety and fear, people experiencing environmental trauma, and the consequences of past decisions impacting on their world today. We lift up all who, for whom life is a daily struggle, coming to terms with disappointing news or wrong choices and their effects, and those who still wait for their needs to be met. We bring silent prayers of our own burdens, both those of love and those which lie heavily upon our hearts this day. As we answer our call to follow Jesus in our difficult life experiences and trials, where we fear there can be no hope, may we feel the healing touch of Christ. We remember all those who have sought God before us, saints, martyrs, and mystics, their wisdom which shapes our knowledge and understanding today. We pray for our loved ones who have gone through death, that they may know the brightness of your everlasting kingdom, and that we who are left can continue to grow in their absence. Hold us in faithfulness as we await the day of your coming, ever praying in the manner that Jesus taught his followers. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise, let all things now living. The words to the hymn will appear before you on the screen.
To God our Creator, shine.
And now let us go forth into the world seeking to love and serve the Lord in all that we do. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace this day and forevermore. Amen.